We're going to turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel and chapter 30. The story at the beginning of the chapter is simply some people invaded Ziklag, a city, a village, and took in captive families and the wives of David. Thank you. And at the end, the Lord gave victory for them. But we're going to focus in a part of this story. So we'll read part of verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue up or not? Then and we read in verse 9, and that will the focus, the exercise. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. Then verse 11, then they found an Egyptian in the field. In another translation, a young adult Egyptian in the field. And brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins, or grape. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had not eaten no bread, nor drink water for 3 days and three nights. So here we find David meet with this young Egyptian man, which the Bible did not mention his name. He was in a miserable situation. And he met him in a brook or in a valley called Besor. And the word Besor, those who know Arabic, it's very close to Bishara. So when you go to Isaiah chapter 61, and here we read, this is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. So this is the same word, good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and opening the prison for those who are bound. So here we find David meets someone in a valley of the good tidings, of the good news, of the glad tidings. Someone who was literally between life and death. And then David asked him a very important question in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 30. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? Then, and he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. So the story, as simple as that. David was going in this miserable situation of him and his people, asking the Lord first before he taking any step, then meeting with this young man here. And he met him in a valley. Remember, David wrote about another valley in Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. But here, he was not talking about the valley of the shadow of death. He's here is talking about the valley of the good news, the valley of the glad tidings. And the gospel message that we have to the world, either as individual, wherever we are, or as missionaries you go, as the Lord send you, and remember, we stress on that in verse 8, that David asked the Lord, come on David, those are your wives, those are the families of your people. Why just, you know, go by your passion, by your affection toward them, and do save them? No, I'm not going this way. I'm going to ask the Lord first. So here they meet with someone and they didn't tell him, you know, we're gonna kill you, we are from the enemies, and we're gonna finish your life, we end your life. No, but we meet with you in a very nice place, in a valley of the good news. And the world we are in today, we are still in a valley of the good news. We are still in a valley where we can share this good news with some others around us. Years ago, we received an invitation, a nice invitation for a wedding. And it arrived in a very nice envelope. And our names were there. And we know the groom and the bride. And the place where they're going to have the celebration is there. The time is there. The address is there. Everything is nice, except it was a month ago. So it's a very nice invitation, but it is not valid anymore. Today, the invitation we have, it is still valid. We are still in the valley of the good news. One day will come when the believers will be up with the Lord Jesus, the invitation will be here. But it's not valid for many. It's not valid for many. So here is, we are in that valley of the good news. Now, what is this good news? It's very simple. Very simple good news. Jesus loves you. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11:28 said that invitation to everyone. Come to me, all you have labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who is included in this and who is excluded from this? Nobody. All are included in this invitation. No matter what is the situation of the person you are giving the invitation to. When you go to Luke 14, we're going to look into that later. We see that the master asked his servant, and his servant here is the Holy Spirit, because he said, I send the invitation and still there is place, there is room. When you go to Matthew 22, it's many servants, but they don't know. They send the invitation, but they don't know if there is still room or not. They don't know if this person has the right garment for the wedding or not. But in Luke 14, because it is the Holy Spirit, he knows exactly who is the elected ones. He knows if there is a place, if there is a room or not. So that simple invitation, the Lord used a vessels. So now the question that David asked this man here, this young man, to whom you all belong? Who is your master? So the first thing in the valley of the good news, you have to be acquainted with this master first. This is the only qualification for you. Now, can I go to the mission field? I want to go to all, I'm not going to mention names, but I want to go to here and here and hear this beautiful report. That's wonderful if the Lord led you to do that. But remember that the Lord won't use you wherever you are with whatever you can do for him. Wherever you are with whatever you can do for him. That's the first place that you start to share those good news and glad tidings. Let me just take one verse from 2 Timothy 2:21 to see the qualification of those that will be used by the Lord. In another word, if I want to be a missionary today, if I want to be someone used by the Lord, what is the qualification for that? 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone, see the divine order here, cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. The master has no problem to use unprofitable vessel. The master has no problem to use a broken vessel. The master has no problem to use unqualified vessel. But the master has one condition. This vessel has to be holy for him. Has to be sanctified for him in order to use him. When you go to Philemon, you see the apostle Paul writing to Philemon, telling him about Onesimus. He was unprofitable, but now he is profitable for you and for me. When you go to Gideon, he was a very weak vessel, but he was used by the Lord. When you go to the Samaritan woman, how many conferences this Samaritan woman attended? Zero. How many commentaries did she read? Zero. What qualified her to be a messenger? What qualified her to be someone who speaks about the Lord, to be a missionary for her city? She met with the true David, who changed her heart. So the only qualification, or the basic qualification to be used by the Lord, first thing, you have to meet with the true David, as long as we are still in the valley of the glad tiding. Now, they found him between life and death. He didn't eat, he didn't drink for 3 days and three nights, in a miserable situation. You know what? We will have a gospel meeting, and we will invite people, and we will wait for them to come. That's very good, very nice. But the Lord here, same as when you go to Luke chapter 10, when that the good Samaritan met with that man, he was between life and death. Don't look for clean sinners to give the invitations, but go find those who are between life and death. How many are they in our countries here? Many. Many. Just go to any downtown. You will see them literally between life and death. And those who are the ones the Lord want to deliver the gospel of the glad tidings. I'm not seeking some righteous ones, but I'm seeking some sinners to save. And you know what? I will not get tired from repeating this exhortation that Paul gave to his son Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. He didn't tell him do the work of Savior, but do the work of evangelist. And there is a difference. There is a huge difference between the two. The work of an evangelist is just maybe to hand a tract, maybe to pray for someone, maybe to invite someone for the gospel meeting or for the meeting. But he doesn't accept the Lord. I did that many times, and they throw the tract on my face. We are not saviors. We are not saviors. The Lord will not ask you how many got saved by you, but how many heard the message by you. A young girl was walking, and she found this big guy and his cup, and with two cups, and she gave him a tract. Jesus loves you. He ripped it and threw it in her face, told her, go run away. But she told him in a nice way, but mister, Jesus loves you. Later he went to the cell, and these words bothered him in his head. Jesus loves you. And while he's taking off his shirt, he found under the collar just some pieces of paper of that tract that says, Jesus and love. That's it. And at that night, the Lord cornered him, and he accepted him, and he changed his life. He accepted him as his Savior. Do the work of an evangelist. We have a precious and wonderful invitation between our hands, and we have a great task to do. It's wonderful to travel to other country to preach the word and to do a big gospel meetings. That's one of the best feeling you get in your life, when somebody accepts the Lord after you give a gospel message or you pray with someone. That's wonderful. If the Lord really led you to do that, that's wonderful. But never underestimate what you can do in the place that the Lord put you in. When the Lord put us in a different cities and different neighborhoods and different countries, that not just by accident. The Lord won't use you in a place where nobody else can be used. Your unique address, it's your mission field where the Lord won't use you first. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. The Lord will not ask you why you didn't do this or do that or go to this field or go to that field. The Lord will ask you why you didn't do what I asked you to do. In this small area that He put you in. Start with a small thing. Even handing out tracts. That's where you can be, we can be used. Now this guy he met, he accepted this invitation, this wonderful invitation. He comes from Egypt and his master was Amalekite. And that's exactly what the unbelievers today. From Egypt, it's a picture of the world. Amalekite, it's a picture of the flesh that led or powered by the Satan. And that's what we can see in the world around us. And those are the people that really need this wonderful gospel message. Open with me Proverbs 5:9. Lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. Lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. And that's what the Satan doing today with the world around us. And that's what he did with this man. His master, when did he leave him? When he was sick. He dropped him. He told him, I don't need you anymore. A cruel master. And that's what he do today. I remember many years ago, my father was a dermatologist and sexual diseases doctor. And a young man, very healthy, came to his clinic. And after a few months, he came back and he was in a miserable situation. Exactly, literally between life and death. And he was tested positive for HIV. And that's what the Satan doing around the people in the world today. He tricked them, he cheated them, he gave them whatever, you know, in the world today. And after that, he give with this hand and he take with the other hand. To those people, the Lord is sending you and me. To those people is the message of salvation. To those people who are still walking with us in this valley of the good news. Let me go to John chapter 9 and verse 4. Here, listen to what the Lord Himself says. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Today is still the day for both. Today is still an acceptable time. Today it is still to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. For the sinners and for us. One of the things I'm sure that I will regret, that if there is regret in heaven, I didn't spend much time in preaching out to sinners around me. I was very comfortable in my comfort zone with my beloved brothers and saints, and we go to the meeting and we enjoy the Bible study and we enjoy the ministry. But there's some others still in this valley of glad tiding. It's good news. The four lepers in the old, they said, we are not doing good. Why you are not doing good? You have a lot of things to take. You have a lot of food. You have a lot of clothes. We are not doing good because today is the day of a good news. And we are silent. We are silent. Let me say it in another way. And I am silent. Because the Lord will ask each one of us individually. And I am silent. Let us take this wonderful opportunity while we are walking in this valley of the glad tiding. I many times preach about the, when I give a gospel message about the judgment seat and the white throne and that anyone can die, which is very true, that anyone can die at any moment, and accidents and hurricanes and many things. That's very true. That's very true. But let us not forget, it's still a valley of good news. It's a valley of good news. Not only we don't scare the sinners, we tell them the truth, but also give the good news, the glad tiding. The people, this man here, they give him some food to eat and some water to drink. How many people are thirsty around us for a cup of water? Here in this, in Isaiah 61, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. When the Lord Jesus, glory to his name, when he came here, he's the messenger. He's the one who, this prophecy about him, he's the one who fulfilled this prophecy. In Luke 4, he stopped at that. At the synagogue of the Nazareth. He stopped that to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He did not mention the day of vengeance. And today is still the valley of the good news. Let us take the opportunity as we are preaching this glad tiding wherever the Lord leads us and put us for his name's sake.